Exodus chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse 1. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. What I want to share, the message the Lord's given us today, we have entitled Remembering What Israel Forgot. Remembering What Israel Forgot. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1, this is where the children of Israel have been led of the Lord, and they come to the Red Sea, and they got what seems to be an insurmountable obstacle in front of them. They have Pharaoh and the bestest and the baddest of his army and soldiers and chariots coming up behind him, and the situation looked pretty bleak. And the children of Israel, they forgot some things in that time of distress, in that time that looked so dark, in that time where they really needed to look to the Lord like never before. And if we're not careful, beloved, you and I can do the very same thing in our lives. If we're not careful, we're not cautious, if we're not mindful, we can do the very same things that Israel did here. We pray that God will bless His Word to your heart. And we begin in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pirahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baalzephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, in the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God wasn't done dealing with Egypt. You know, all this, and then what God's going to do to Pharaoh and his bestest, biggest, baddest chariot drivers and warriors, was part, going way back to Abraham, where the covenant to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. And Egypt had been a curse and a blight unto God's people, and they had enslaved them and put brutal tasks upon them. And he even decreed the death of the male-born children and so forth to try to limit them and so on. And they did many hurts and ills to Israel. God wasn't done with His judgment upon Egypt. And so He directed the children of Israel, Moses, to camp exactly where they were, so it would appear they were entrapped. So it would appear they had them cornered. So it would appear to Pharaoh, all right, now I've got you. But God had another plan. And remember, they were there because God led them there. So Pharaoh did come up. He did come up behind them. And we find down in verse 10, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in this wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. And the children of Israel forgot a whole bunch of things when they were talking to Moses and telling him, Why'd you bring us out here? We told you to leave us alone. We told you we were fine with being slaves to Egypt. Did you bring us out here just because there weren't enough graves, enough places to bury folks in Egypt and so on? They acted just totally 100% out of fear. Zero faith. Zero trust in the Lord. And we find a verse that, and there's numerous sermons just in this verse alone, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Wow. Like I said, there's multiple messages just in this one passage, just one verse. You know, many times we find ourselves in challenging circumstances, in difficult times. We find ourselves either physically, emotionally, or even financially, or some such way hurting or in difficult, down in the valley or some such thing. We need to take this to heart. Fear not. Stand still. Boy, that's hard for us to do. It's hard to stand still. It's hard for us not to say, "All right, I got to do something. I got to take care of this. I got to jump in. I got to deal with this." You know, it's hard for us to stand still, isn't it? And then see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, but this isn't our main thoughts, but a wonderful passage. "Which he shall show you today, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." We think about this wonderful act of God and working of God, this wonderful miraculous event of God that literally happened. Remember, there was a show on cable network years ago, and I was looking through the directory, and it said something about Bible Mysteries Explained. The full title of the program should have been Bible Mysteries Explained Away, the way they presented it and their carnal, humanistic approach to things and so forth. But it was kind of their idea that they were just in a shallow area and God, a big wind blew and it dried up a space and they just walked over that. God parted the Red Sea. God wondrously, miraculously split the sea in two, and there was a great wall of water up the right side, a great wall of water up the left side, and a million plus people walked right through it, dry ground. Dry ground. And when Pharaoh and his army determined to follow them, they got in the midst of it. And you know what? God let the ground go back to what it should have been. Mucky, muddy sea bottom. And their wheels sank. Their chariots got bogged down. And here they were in the midst of the sea. And then God closed the waters upon them. God closed the water upon Pharaoh and all his chariots and all the great horses and all the mighty men of Egypt that were with him. And they all drowned, every single one of them, to the last man. And Israel saw this, and they were amazed. Israel saw this, and they were reminded of what they should have remembered all along. So we think about this account. We think about what God did. Let's consider for a few moments what Israel forgot. What Israel forgot. First of all, beloved, they had forgotten the horrible condition that they were living in before God delivered them from Egypt. They forgot about the beatings and the cruelty. They forgot about the life of tremendous just sweat and strain and unmerciful conditions that they dealt with. They forgot about how they cried and how they prayed and how they pleaded for God to deliver them. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 3. Here Moses is out tending his father-in-law's sheep and so forth. And we have the account of Moses and the burning bush here in Exodus chapter 3. Moses turned aside to see this burning bush, the bush that burned but yet was not consumed, was not burnt up. We find in verse 3, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out unto him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." So here Israel gets farther along. God has delivered them. They're on their road to the promised land, and they forgot all about all that terror and all the affliction and what a pitiful, miserable existence they had as slaves to the nation of Egypt. You know, sometimes after we've been saved a while and we go through some things, we need to be careful. We need to be reminded of just what the Lord has saved us from. We need to be reminded. We need to take time and contemplate and stop and remember just what the Lord has saved us from. He saved us from eternal condemnation. He saved us from a life without Him. He saved us from a life without any true leadership and guidance. He saved us from a life that didn't have any eternal purpose or divine presence. He saved us from all the wretchedness of our mortal existence. And you know, if we're not careful, we can forget all that. We can become less mindful of that than we ought to be. We're all just wretched sinners saved by grace, we who know the Lord. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do anything in of ourselves. But God in His grace and His mercy has bestowed it on us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's never forget what the Lord saved us from. Let's never forget that in and of ourselves, all we deserve is eternal condemnation. Yet God in His love, mercy, and grace sent Jesus Christ. And He came, born of a virgin, born without sin. He lived upon the earth and lived without sin. And then one day, He went to the cross of Calvary. And He took all of our sin on His own self, on His own body on the tree, that we, who were dead in trespasses and sin, might live under righteousness. Oh, let's never forget what the Lord has saved us from. Israel forgot that. You could tell they forgot it when they told Moses, "We were better off back there. Leave us alone. We're fine as slaves to the Egyptians." No, they weren't. No, they weren't. They were crying and moaning and carrying on all the days of their slavery because of their taskmasters, because of the miserable existence and conditions they lived in. They forgot what the Lord had saved them from. Secondly, beloved, as we consider what Israel forgot, they forgot all the power of God that was manifested to save them from Egypt. They forgot all the plagues that God brought upon the land of Egypt. God brought all them plagues. You know, God could have delivered them in an instant, in a moment, in a day. But He took time because, one, He was showing forth the fact of that He was truly the sovereign God of all creation and all the universe. He was showing also His chastisement, His judgment upon Egypt for how they treated Israel, His people. And He was manifesting His power, not just for the Egyptians' sake, but He was manifesting His power for Israel, His people's sake. And the plagues of all the frogs and the flies and the lice and the water to blood and all the different things, and ultimately the death of the firstborn, so forth. They forgot all the wondrous power that God had shown when He delivered them from Egypt. They forgot all about the plagues that God had brought upon them. Forgot all about the manifested power to deliver them, and so forth. All of a sudden, when they looked at the situation that was bleak and that humanly speaking was hopeless, and so forth, they couldn't go forward, they couldn't go back, they were locked in this terrible wilderness. They forgot about the power of God. The power of God to deliver. The power of God to move mountains. The power of God to do whatever He chooses to do. You know, Jesus told one in His earthly ministry, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible. The angel, when he announced to Mary, the Virgin Mary, that she was going to bear a child, and you know, he was going to be the Savior, and he was going to be great, and so forth. And she asked simply, "Well, how can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel said, "All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God." And Israel forgot this. Israel forgot about the power of God. In their time of distress, in their time of challenge, in their time of being in this situation again that humanly, physically looked hopeless. Thirdly, beloved, they forgot about the promises of God. They forgot that they weren't just being delivered from Egypt. They weren't just being taken out of bondage. They weren't just being delivered from their slavery. But they were headed to the promised land. They were headed to the promised land. They were headed to a land that God had promised was flowing with milk and honey. A land that God had promised Abraham back in his original covenant with him centuries before. They forgot about the promise of God. They forgot about the promised land. They forgot about the fact of where they were going. Tell you what, I love the words of that old hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Sometimes we live like we forget that. Sometimes we live like we forget that. God help us to remember where we're going, where we're headed. The Lord hasn't just saved us from the condemnation and the bondage of sin. We too are headed to glory. We too are headed to a place that God has promised for us. We too are headed to an eternal state with Christ, which is far better. Paul said in Philippians, you know, I'm in a strait, I'm in a conflict between the two, to stay, which is needful, helpful for you, or to go and be with Christ, which is far better. Beloved, let's remember where we're going. Let's remember what God has promised us and not be forgetful like Israel. Another thing they forgot, beloved, is they forgot the joy and the triumph of their deliverance. Basically, they lost the joy of their salvation. They lost the joy of their salvation. Here they were, and it hadn't been that long. It hadn't been all that, you know, it had just been, weeks and months. It hadn't been like years and years and years. And they, when they left Egypt, they were jumping up and down and singing praises, and couldn't be happier. And they forgot the joy of their deliverance. First real sign of trouble, the first real sign of challenge, and here they were. You know, did you bring us out here because there's not enough graves? Why couldn't you have just left us alone? We were fine back there as slaves and so forth. Oh, beloved, we're not careful. We can forget the joy of our salvation. We can forget. Go back, each of you here that are here, and say, just go back for a moment and think of how the joy and peace of God flooded over your soul. And think of how excited and wondrous and so forth that you felt when the Lord saved you. We're not saved by feelings, but I tell you what, I don't know anybody who's ever been saved didn't feel the joy of salvation. We all maybe not manifested it just exactly the same. But when the Lord saves you, you have this sense of release and relief and just utter joy, knowing the love and mercy of God, the joy of knowing Jesus as Savior. Israel forgot the joy of their deliverance. They forgot the joy of their salvation. And it can happen to us as well, beloved. We find also that they forgot where they were because of who led them there. They forgot they were encamped because God told Moses, "That's where I want you to camp. That's where I want you to be." They were there by following the leadership of the Lord. You know, there's an old saying, if God brings you to it, He can certainly bring you through it. And we might be in a dark valley. We might be in a dark place. We might have some physical affliction. We might have something going on in our lives, and it seems to be just such a burden. And maybe we're praying and we're pleading, and maybe we don't see a human way for help, or we don't see. Let's remember, God's leading, God's directing. We're at a stage and a time and a place in our life because God has moved, God has dealt, God has led. They totally forgot this. We're here, we're encamped in this wilderness at the edge of the great sea, and we can't go forward. We got Pharaoh and his army coming up behind us, and so we're in this place, in this moment, because God has placed us here. Because God has led us here. Because we've been following the leadership, the will of God. That'll help us a whole lot. That'll calm a whole lot of our fears and anxieties if we'll just stop and realize we are where we are because God has led. God has moved. God has revealed Himself to us. God has, by His Spirit, led us to the point of where we are and even what we're dealing with. They forgot totally that God had led them there. And where God leads us to it, He can lead us through it. Then lastly, beloved, they forgot God always, 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 always has a purpose in what He's doing. Amen. God isn't flippant. He isn't careless. He isn't mindless. He isn't forgetful. What God does, beloved, everything that God does, He does with purpose. He does with a divine will. He does in a sovereign plan. He brought them there for a purpose. Let's go back to the beginning of this, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1. God told Moses, and the Lord spake to Moses. And the Lord directed Moses for them to camp where they camped. Now notice the purpose, verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Beloved, God always moves with purpose. Just that is a comfort alone. You know, so many times, the only time we ever really look at Romans 8:28 is, you know, when there is a grievous sickness or a loved one passes or some such. But, you know, daily we need to stop and consider Romans 8:28. Amen. Not just in a time of catastrophe or a time of valley or a time of death or something. But look at what it says in Romans 8:28. And we know. Isn't that a blessed thing to know? Israel forgot all this. Israel forgot that God always has a purpose. And we know that all things, not just all the good things, not just all the things we might enjoy, not just all the things that might be pleasurable, not just all the things that we might count good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We may not know all the whys and wherefores. We may never understand this side of glory, why we're dealing with a situation or going through a valley or so forth, but we can know this much. God loves us. God has a purpose. And that purpose is good. That purpose is right. That purpose is of Him. And that purpose is ultimately a goodness to us. Israel forgot that God always has a purpose. Oh, let's look back down in our text, back in Exodus chapter 14. Let's read the last few verses here. The children of Israel crossed. Pharaoh and his armies pursued. They got in the midst of them. And verse 25, God worked and God moved. And it says, and He took off the chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Pharaoh and the Egyptians realized, sadly too late, that God was fighting for His people Israel. That God was going to be honored upon them. That God was going to deal with them according to what they deserved. And they said, let's flee. But it was too little too late. You know, if you're here today and you're lost, you know, there's no better day to come to know the Lord than today. There's no better time than right now. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's not a put-off time. There's not a better time. There's not guaranteed any other time. I pray the Lord might move upon you, and today you might turn from your sin and self. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before it's eternally too late. The Egyptians realized way too late that God was fighting for his people, that they were going to experience the judgment and the wrath of God. Verse 27, it says, "And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remaineth not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and to the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians." What was Moses' message when they were all panicked and all they were so carnal and acted in such a degree of the flesh? "Oh, did you bring us out here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt? Did you bring us out here just to die? We told you to leave us alone. We were glad to serve the Egyptians," on and on. And Moses said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the shore." And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. See, God's purpose, it wasn't just to save Israel. It wasn't just to make a way for Israel. The Lord was bringing his judgment upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. It said, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Oh, beloved, next time you're in a valley, next time you're going through a difficult, challenging time, next time you're dealing with maybe something life-threatening, you may be dealing with something emotional, you may be dealing with something financial, whatever it is, may God help us not to forget all that Israel forgot. May we remember the Lord's saving power. May we remember His power to deliver. May we remember His power to save. May we remember His sovereignty. May we remember that God always has a purpose. God doesn't do things by happenstance and fate. And, God is never flippant about anything. He does everything with an exacting order and detail of purpose. And let's remember that God, no matter how hopeless, how dark it may seem, humanly speaking, as God told Abraham, and God, when the angel announced that Abraham at 100 years old and Sarah at 90 years old, and that in a few months she was going to bear a son, the son of promise, the son of the covenant, Sarah laughed within herself and so forth. But the angel said, "Is there anything too hard for God?" And the answer is no. Absolutely not. May God help us to remember all that Israel forgot. May the Lord bless your hearts with His Word.